Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and chavruta, your Dana Osband. Our daf of the day, Masachet Eruvin, daf Nun Zion, page 57. Wow, we are chugging through these dafim these days. Okay, we have a new Mishnah on this daf, and the rest of the daf is, continuing in our same discussion of exactly how do we establish the outskirts of the city of any city to make the Tchum Shabbos. So here we go. Notnin Karpeif, right? You'll remember that the Karpeif is the extra 70 amot that can be added to every city, right? Before which you're gonna get to your 2,000 amot of Tchum. So Notnin Karpeif Le'ir, you give this extra kind of boundary, whatever, to the city. That's Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim lo amru Karpeif ela bein shtei. The Chachamim say, we don't say that you give a karpeif to just everybody. You give a karpeif when you've got two cities that are pretty much adjacent to each other, but they've got this kind of big gap between them. If the karpeif etstehen liot echad, right? What does that mean? That if each city has a bit, 70 amot plus a bit on one side, and the other city has 70 amot and a bit on the other side, but so they're both. These are the sides that are adjacent to the two cities, right? The two cities are at whatever spread from each other, but they each have 70 plus a little bit space going towards the other city. Then you establish this karpeif between them, and that meaning each one gets a karpeif, and then that combines the two cities into one. Osim karpeif. Et stehem liot achad, and then v'chein shlosha kfarim hamushulashim. What if you have three cities? Im yesh ben shnayim chitzonim me'ava arba'im v'achat ushlish, asa emtzai et shloshtan liot achad. So if you have three of these villages or cities or whatever, areas of towns that you have that they're in a triangle or if they're in a line, I mean you've got three, and now you have. And the Mishnah here is very precise, 141 and a third amot that separates between the two most external villages, right? Then that middle one functions to combine the three to become one. So let me take a step back and talk about first we have the two, which have this kind of karpeif, this buffer zone from each to the next on both of them on the adjacent side. And then that works to combine the two of them to be essentially one larger area. From which your 2,000 amot would extend beyond the combined city. And then if you have three, then the three function so that the two external cities are joined together to be one big mass of city, let's say, by the third one that is in the middle of them. And the Gemara's discussion here is if it says if there is as a triangle, v'chein shlosha kfarim ha-mishulashin. A mishulash in Hebrew is a triangle. The very precise number here, 141 and a third cubits, right? That is between the two outer villages, seems to be the doubling of that karpeif zone, right? If each one has 70 and a bit, then 70 and a bit plus 70 and a bit is 141 and a third. I mean, so it would seem. It's a very precise number for the Mishnah. And I'm not exactly clear, we talked about are people measuring amot by them by their personal bodies, or do they have some objective measure? This is one of those times where you really kind of need an objective measure because otherwise people are going to measure and come up with quite different distances. As an aside, and then I'm going to turn it back to your Dana, is they have just right, the archaeological discovery has just discovered that we know exactly what a tefach is. Right, that's a hand's breadth. So, but it's a technical hand's breadth. You can look it up. You can look it up on the Times of Israel. You can look up in all kinds of archaeology magazines. It's become a hot topic in the past week or so. And so, I would say we now can extend this whole question of is it a personal size or an objective size? Again, here's the Yama where that becomes a relevant, important question.
So I want to jump down here to two things on Amud Bet, which sort of is trying to work through a lot of what this Mishnah is talking about. The first is this question of these three villages. And I guess I want to preface it also by saying, and I know I mentioned this, I think it was yesterday, the day before, you know, when we initially started learning about Eruv Tehumim or the idea of the Tehum, it felt like so restrictive, like where you could normally walk. But again, we keep to just keep seeing, you know, ways that they keep sort of extending how far you could actually walk. So now it's really 2,070 from your city. And if the cities are close enough together, you know, you sort of combine them into one large, big area. So I don't know, maybe I'm not understanding like how people needed to get places at this time. It just seems like now they're walking like very far distances on Shabbat, but that's like a side. You heard what I'm saying, Anne?
I do. I think especially because we relate to this, like, why aren't they home having Shabbat? So go to shul and come home, like, right? Go for a nice walk.
Right, exactly. So there's like something, there's a piece here of like what their day-to-day life was like that I'm not totally getting. All right, so the Gemara is going to sort of wants to bring, I guess, like, you know, another Tanaitic statement to sort of strengthen the opinion of the Mishnah. It says as follows, Tanan, V'chein shloshak farim ha-mishulashim. Right, so again, we have these three villages that are, you know, sort of connected, I guess, like in a triangle formation. Im yesh bein shnayim achitzonim mea ba'arba'im ba'achad ama. Right, so if there's between the three outer ones, right, this double karpef or 141, you know, and a third amot, osa emsa'i et shlashtan lihiot echad. So then the middle one combines with them, and it really just becomes like one big kfar, one big village. Tama, right? So now the question is going to be why, right? Deika emsa'i haleka emsa'i lo. So the reason for this is because there is a middle village, right? But if there wasn't a middle one, right, it wouldn't be allowed to be considered to be one. To Yufta de Rav Huna, right? So this has to be a refutation of how Rav Huna understood this, because per Rav Huna, right, that the two villages can combine just by having the space of the double karpef, right? You don't need this middle village. And here, right, this seems to be saying that what you do need to have the middle village. So what's going on here? Amar lecha Rav Huna, so what would Rav Huna say? Ha itmar ala, right? So he said, wasn't it said, right? Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Idi, Amar Rav Chanina, right? Rabba said, the Rav Idi said, that Rav Chanina said, lo mishulashim amash. It's not that they're actually like in a line, okay? Ela ro'in kol she'ilu meitil emsa'i beinehem viyu mishulashim. Rather, it's that the middle one is actually sort of off to the, and the two outer ones are more than two karpaves far away from each other. The ein baze, the ein bein ze leze, ela mea ba'arba'im ama ba'achat ushlish, asa emsa'i et shleshtan liyot echad. So it's really, what it's saying is that if you put the middle one in the middle, in other words, if you think about it as a triangle, right, and make sure I'm explaining this well, right, and the middle one is sort of the top of the triangle, right, and the two outer ones are the base of the triangle, so they're in a straight line. But if you moved sort of that, the middle one into the middle of those, the two outer ones, right, then you would only have a distance of this 141 and a third cubit between one another, and that's how the middle one turns them into three, right? So that's why, so that's what we're, that's how Rav Huna would understand this, right? That in other words, you need that middle one when the space is larger than the two karpets. So it's just interesting to see sort of like how they're using different types of space and distances, again, in order just to continue to increase the tehum. So then the Gemara goes on. Well, and before
I
move on.
I have, clearly this is an annoying question of ignorance, right? But 70 amot, right? Like when I think how far is 70 amot, right? In terms of walking and in terms of a distance between, okay, we want 141 amot between cities, right? This does not strike me as far, right? Like, I don't know. I feel like if you have a city and you have another city and there's 141 amot between them, we call that
no,
a highway.
No, but it's
and
not
we,
140. Like, it's not 70. It's 2,000 plus the 140.
Uh-huh. Okay, fair enough. Meaning again, like I can think about this when I think about, let's say, I don't know, Yishuvim, let's say in Israel, right? Where they're not really they're not next to each other. They're kind of each one on its own
Right.
hilltop. And then each one is divided in such a way that to walk between them really might require this kind of distance. And then you're gonna say, well, it's as if they're all one, even though they're very visibly not just one. But certainly in the cities that I know in America, or the larger cities that I know in Israel, right? Not just a little town somewhere, then I feel like there's much more contiguous space, like, the greater metropolitan Boston area. So one town kind of attaches to the next town, attaches to the next one and the next one. And I know that, let's say, in a place like New York, you have many more divisions by highways and rivers and things like that, but still, the buildings are contiguous,
Well,
so to
from my
speak.
calculation of what I figured out on this, so if we say like an amas, some people say it's like 0.7 yards, I guess, or something like that. So if you take 2,070 amot, right? Like say that's the city to whom, and then, so that comes out to about 0.8 miles. So if you combine them, you're talking about it's like 1.6
Okay.
between the two. I mean, again, it's not that it's a crazy far distance to walk, but like, how much walking is everyone doing? But maybe again, that's just speaking to the like, we really don't walk enough. I don't know. That's the piece I'm not getting on this map.
Well, I'm sure we don't walk enough, but also what it tells me is that it makes sense then that let's say you can have terrain or whatever that does make a boundary
Right.
between one village or town and the next, and that it wouldn't automatically be filled in by to make it more
Right,
of just
exactly.
one,
And
right?
also,
Like this need to say that we're going to combine one plus one because there's this distance between them. It's not that vast, but it makes sense if you establish this to be, I don't know, like a logical distance. There's a, again, like a valley or a hill or
and
whatever,
also,
that's going to make it
when
less
I say
buildable.
1.6 miles, that sounds a lot different than 4,141 and 2/3 amot. It just feels different. All
Right,
right, and then I
right,
just want to hop down to one more thing on the bottom of the page here, which was an interesting sort of practical real life story. Amar le Rav Safra le Rava. So Rav Safra says to Rava the following: Hare b'nei Aksi, these are like two weird cities here, Akstifon. All right, right. So they had these two cities, right? It's Akstifon, right, where they would measure the tichum from the far end of the city of Adashir, right? Ubene tichuma de Adashir, mashkinan lihu tichuma mehai de Akstifon, right? And so, and it was vice versa. And Adashir would measure their tichum from the far limit of the city Akstifon. Ha eka degala demafsa yeter mimei av arba'im v'achad shalish, right? So what he basically asks is, right, isn't the Tigris River, right, separating them? They set goes through these two cities, and it obviously has to be more than this measurement of 141 and a third amot, right? So, and I think also just visually to have like a river separating between two cities, and I guess you have to sort of like walk around. That's what I'm envisioning of what this looked like, right? How could this be considered to be one unit? So Rava goes out and he shows Rav Safra that one of the cities, the foundation of the wall of the city, was actually in the Tigris River itself, and therefore it was only a distance of actually 70 amot. So in other words, they were actually linked, but it was through this wall being in the river itself. So what impressed me about this little tidbit here is again sort of like how much the Gemara was actually reliant on their understanding on like the surveyors, right? And sort of like the people who actually like did this. Like this wasn't just like the rabbis like making it up, right? But like they really sort of like you're learning like how they actually took these measurements and made sure that what they were doing was actually correct. Does that make sense? I'm not sure I'm articulating this point well.
Yeah, I mean, they took this halacha seriously in its and to its nth degree, right? Like, when do you get to 70 amot and a little bit, right? As opposed to just 70 amot. They must have measured that many,
Right.
many times to be sure that it was 70 amot exactly and not 70 amot and a little bit,
Right. So what it made me get to thinking is
you know, the
like,
precision of it.
This on like such a theoretical, and you know, again, there may be places in Israel, like I'm sure there are, where people really think about the Tichlum, just thinking about like how many of those Yishuvim are set up and things like that. But like this speaks to the practical piece of this, that like, you know, in order to really understand this halakha, there had to be a group of people who really like measured the outskirts of the cities and looked to see how close they were to like the neighboring village or the neighboring town. And could you really walk? And this must have been like common halachic knowledge that residents had, depending on where they lived and understanding the surrounding area.
Right, right. I think that's right.
So that was sort of my appreciation from that. That's sort of what I got out from this daf today.
Listen, I think these dapim that we're finding challenging in terms of visualizing exactly how this would work, in part because our locations and where we need Eruvin are a bit different. I think that, as I said this the other day, that we can read all the words and really, you know, delve into exactly what they were talking about, what they were experiencing. But in terms of our, let's pull a thought and talk about it from the daf, I think that that's what we're trying to do here, right? As opposed to, you know, there's making sure that we've got down all the different permutations. We know that we're not talking about all the different permutations. They are there on the daf
exactly.
To be had.
Well, that's our daf discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this daf on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.